everyone. This is Molly Douthat.
And David Douthat.
And welcome to More Than Hearing, a podcast to encourage preachers to incorporate multiple intelligences into sermons and worship leadership, because there are plenty of ways to reach someone's soul.
Our podcast today will cover the Revised Common Lectionary readings for Year C, Advent 3. But don't worry, it's not just another lectionary podcast. Let's explore the reasons why. Our show is based on Dr. Howard Gardner's theory of multiple intelligences. His work in education research led him to believe that people have many intelligences, or ways to learn, process, remember, and understand the world. Popular names for these intelligences include word smart, vision smart, math smart, music smart, body smart, people smart, self smart, and nature smart. We've provided some background and several links about Dr. Gardner's work on our website, morethanhearing.org, and we encourage you to explore the topic there.
We've decided to try incorporating these smarts into preaching and worship leadership to give our congregations more ways to access and connect with God's Word, and that's what we're sharing with you here. Each week, we'll provide several illustrations and special effects using different smarts for each of the four readings of the Revised Common Lectionary. Illustrations are still verbal constructions, but they intentionally evoke or tap into the other smarts. Special effects are the use of props and experiences that more actively and directly engage the congregation. So, let's see what we have for Year C, Advent 3.
The first reading for the third week of Advent, Year C, is Zephaniah 3, 14-20. This is a passage of joy and hope, and it has such lines as, "The Lord has taken away the judgment against you. The Lord your God is in your midst, and at that time I will bring you home." So, again, we're not doing exegesis for you. You have to do that on your own. We've done a little bit to prepare for this, but we're just here to give you the illustrations and special effects, or hopefully give you some ideas that might spur your own development thereof. So let's start with the iSmart on this passage. And there are some really very interesting elements to this. In the middle of the passage, in verses 15 and verse 17, it talks about the Lord taking away or turning away the enemies, and that the Lord is like a warrior who gives you victory. And one of the images that came to my mind, anyway, was an action hero in the movies, and a scene of siege where the baddies are all out there and they've got the good guys surrounded. And then it turns out that some of the baddies are in the group inside, and
boo.
And the action hero rises up and slays the enemies who were within and protects the hapless good guys, you know. So the Lord as Schwarzenegger or Bruce Willis.
Actually, I was seeing God with his face half painted blue.
Yeah. For example, or Aragorn saving the hobbitses. References to movies here, and that's why it's an eye smart.
Continuing on with verse 16, the Lord will bring you home. Do not let your hands grow weak. We looked at this in terms of the body smart. And an illustration you might use to illustrate the body for these particular verses is, what is it like when you come dragging home after a long commute or a road trip? Or, to go back in your mind a little bit more, as a kid in one of those long road trips, you get in the car, you fall asleep, and the next thing you know, you're waking up in your bed at home. I remember doing that a lot. We have a special effect for the body smart for this particular passage that also ties in with Philippians and Luke. So we'll get to what that particular special effect is when we get to when we get a little further down the road. Just want to give you a heads up that it's coming.
This passage also has some wonderful musical elements to it, and particularly
it is a song of praise.
It is a song of praise, and in verse 17, it talks about the Lord exalting over you with loud singing. So what a remarkable image that is. So we'll leave it to you to develop that idea, but what would the Lord sing and what would it sound like?
You know what it made me think of just now is the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe series when Aslan sings creation into being.
Ooh, very nice.
Just got a chill.
Yeah, me too.
Mufasa.
Ooh.
Okay. Anyway, so there is a special effect.
We'll have to take that part out. That'll cost us money. Anyway, by way of illustration, there you go. And then a special effect, if you have some skill with this, take a hymn of praise from your hymnal and rewrite it as if it were God singing to us instead of the other way around.
Wouldn't that be awesome? Wow. Someday we'll hear that.
Yeah.
That would be so cool. Mm-hmm. Okay, the nature smart, the particular verse that we popped out at for us is, "You shall fear disaster no more." Illustrating this one, you might talk about what life is like on the other side of a huge storm. The worst is behind, the roof may or may not still be on the house. The disaster that Zephaniah refers to is much more of a political type of a disaster, exile, devastation. But exile and devastation, they impact the earth. A special effect you might do, and this again connects with Isaiah and Luke, is to talk about or demonstrate somehow how do disasters, natural or political, impact the earth's resources. How is the world different on the other side of a disaster, and where do we find God in the midst of that difference?
Let's go on to the next one.
The second lesson for Advent 3 is Isaiah chapter 12, verses 2 through 6, that begins, "Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and my might, and he has become my salvation."
First of our smarts for this passage that we want to do is the math smart, which is also logical. And so thinking about a particular verse here in the passage that says that you will draw waters from the wells of salvation. And so just wondering, how would you engineer wells of salvation? Of course, we don't. God does that. But it's an interesting idea to think about what a well of salvation might be like. So some thoughts here perhaps on how you dig a well and what analogies there may be there for spiritual life. If you have some engineers in your congregation or folks who are familiar with that sort of thing, and we have someone in our congregation who was an engineer in
Peace Corps, wasn't it?
Peace Corps. Yeah,
in Panama.
In Panama. Did this sort of work. Invite that person to talk about that kind of work. And actually, this idea of wells is going to run through several of the passages and smarts for us today. So invite that person in, ask them to talk about how that works, how you dig a well, and the importance of what that clean water means for a community.
The music smart, this is another hymn of joy. And the third Sunday in Advent is typically the joy Sunday. We all have that pink candle in our Advent wreaths. That's the one that we pull out, separate, and talk about how there is joy in being a disciple of Jesus. So something you might do as an illustration for a music smart is use the lyrics to Joy to the World, how the entirety of creation is singing for joy at the coming of the King. Or Hark the Herald Angels Sing, Joyful All Ye Nations Rise. Look at some of the music for Christmas. And if you're okay with pulling that in before Christmas actually happens, just talk about the lyrics. Talk about who wrote them, why, what was the joyful experience that that brought those lyrics into being. And as a special effect, pick a refrain from a song of joy, a hymn, or a contemporary song, And use that as your service music. Just take that one phrase or that, a chorus and have that be what you sing when you bring the offering up that particular Sunday.
Turning to Nature Smart, we're again thinking about the passage of, or the verse about drawing water from the wells of salvation. And consider this also connects with Body Smart. Consider the effects of dehydration on the body.
You know, what's terrible.
It is. I mean, just starting from headache and aches to
nausea,
and then as it progresses,
you just break down.
The whole cascade. So, and then thinking about that in terms of the waters of salvation and what our spirits go through in a spiritual dehydration.
Mm-hmm.
So the importance, again, of clean water would work here. So you might look at some examples of clean water projects like the Clear Water Initiative, clearwaterinitiative.org, or globalh2o.org. And so this also connects back to the Zephaniah passage after the disaster has passed, and also will connect in the Luke passage when we get there.
A self-smart that you could use for this particular passage centers on the phrase I will not be afraid, particularly the I will not be afraid. Use a person as an illustration. Use a personal example of you choosing not to fear, and it really is a choice. Sometimes it is just a choice. I am not going to be afraid, and why? Why are you not going to be afraid? Of course, it's centered around God and God's sovereignty and the fact that Jesus has this stuff. But, use an illustration to talk about that. A special effect you could use for the self-smart centering around the phrase, I will not be afraid, is put a blank piece of paper in your bulletin and let your congregation take some time to reflect on a time that they chose not to be afraid. And why? And how has life been different since they've made this choice? Have they been able to continue to choose not to be afraid? Have they been able to use that as a well to go back and draw on?
Nice.
What is it like for them to have chosen not to be afraid?
A people smart for this would be to use, again, a personal illustration on the phrase, I will trust, the first part of that verse. And your experiences of trusting someone. And then the special effect would be similar to the self-smart, would be ask people to turn to a neighbor and talk about the challenges of trust in our culture today, sharing judiciously.
Yes.
And wisely. I think there could be a lot of power in
sure.
talking about the trust issues we have
sure.
today.
And who you trust. Moving on.
The third reading for the third week of Advent is Philippians 4:4-7. Classic passage here. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice and all that goes with that. Don't worry about anything and let your requests be made known to God through your prayers. So our first smart on this one is, again, I smart. And more or less, we're looking at a commentary here from the Taze community, and we'll have the link for that in the show notes. But it suggests that in this passage, Paul is writing from prison, of course, and yet he's still able to talk about joy and rejoicing and not worrying and all of these things and having peace. So this commentary suggests that Paul has found that joy, to quote, from communion with the risen Christ, who has already passed through the lowest point of the human condition, which I thought was very evocative. And it made me think of being on a roller coaster ride for a second time. You already know the track, and you put up with going up the hill, which is long and
clunk,
slow
clunk,
and boring,
clunk,
and
clunk, 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 clunk,
because you know the thrill that you're going to have on diving down into the dip. Except that in this case, for Paul, it's the reverse. He knows the track because Jesus has already gone through it, and he has communion with Jesus, but he puts up with the dip, the going down into the depths, because he knows the exaltation of the rising up that will come after it.
Because Jesus has already done it.
Because Jesus has already done it.
I never thought of Jesus as an amusement park ride before.
Well, no, he's not the ride. I mean, he,
yeah, I know, but I
he's
never.
Like, dude, you gotta do this because it's awesome.
This was great.
Right? Have you been on it yet? You'd need to do this.
Let's go.
All right, let's go.
That's great. I love it. Do not worry about anything, says Paul. And so Wheeler, looking at this in terms of the body smart. An illustration you might use for do not worry, or what comes on the other side of worry, is a scene in the 1986 movie The Mission, starring Robert De Niro and Jeremy Irons. Robert De Niro is a character, Rodrigo Mendoza, who has, at the beginning of the movie, is a slave trader. He has been enslaving people in South America, and he is eventually converted throughout the movie. But there is a particular scene where he is going back to the mission with Jeremy Irons' character. And as penance for his guilt of what he had been, his armor is in this net that he is dragging along behind him. And there's a particularly...
It's tied to his neck.
Oh, yeah, it was. Yeah. Wow. Anyway, so there's a particular point in the movie where he's in some danger, and the indigenous people who know him and know who he was free him by cutting the rope and allowing the armor to fall, and he is free. So what fell off of him is not necessarily worry, but burdens of the past that have been relieved.
Okay, so another way of expressing this would be with a special effect, and that would be, how heavy is a rock? So with a little bit of planning, you want to give everybody a rock about the size of a baseball.
That's not very heavy.
It doesn't have to be very heavy. And ask them to just hold it palm up, arm's length, and then you just go ahead with your preaching. And see what happens with people as they hold that. I mean, it's not very heavy to start with, but the longer they hold it, the heavier it seems to be. And some folks may settle their arm down. You can encourage them, oh, keep that up there, keep that up there. Or they might switch hands or what have you. But the idea is to see how many people think to just
put it down.
No, I'm going to put it down and quit holding it. So you get to see who's codependent in your congregation there, and who will hold it up the longest. But the idea here then is that we carry our anxieties and our worries, and needlessly often, because we have this invitation from Christ to get rid of it, to put it down through prayer. Mm-hmm. And so you have that. And an alternative to that would be to have one person up front doing this, perhaps with a larger rock or heavy object, a quart of milk or
a gallon
of water or what have you. And just have that person standing there holding it out while you go ahead and then do that same experiment.
See what happens.
And so the connection is, don't worry, put it down. Just put it down.
Moving on to the self-smart, let your requests be made known to God. Sometimes what we need to do is acknowledge the extent to which we all have longings that we don't necessarily name. Not to friends or family, not to God, maybe not even ourselves. So what you might be able to do at this point in time as a special effect is give people time to put their requests together, assemble their requests to God, give them to God, and then give thanks.
Let's go on.
Okay, our final passage for Advent 3 is the gospel lesson from Luke chapter 3, verses 7 through 18. Wow. This is not necessarily a passage you would turn to if you want to talk about joy. You brood of vipers, says John. Yeah, that's joyful. But we are going to look at this. There is joy within it. It kind of goes through a transfer. There's sort of a journey of transformation in these verses that get you to joy. So we're going to start out with looking at John's warning to people about fleeing the wrath of God. The particular words in the passage that pop out of that is about the idea of an axe lying at the root of a tree. You know what that means? It means a tree is coming down. It's a warning, or it's just stating the reality of what it's like for a tree, read disciple, that doesn't bear fruit. So that's the warning. He is speaking to people who are not being fruit bearers. You might talk about that as an illustration, that particular warning and the idea of disciples being trees bearing fruit. Something else you might want to talk about is baptism, because later on in the passage, he talks about the baptism by fire that is coming with the Messiah. So some special effects might be...
Going along with the idea of the baptism, you want to have some water in your baptismal font and lift and drop that water so that the people can see it and hear it and be reminded of their baptism. I'm lifting and letting the water fall. You can see, you can't see me doing this, but here it is.
He really is.
I am. Right. So anyway, reminding people of their baptism, and then think about what a baptism of fire would be, and what does John have in mind with that. So following that up, and you might want to have somebody else do this because your hands will be wet, but it would be if you can get some magician's flash paper to show the same sort of
warning,
the same sort of demonstration of fire as you were just doing with the water. That, poof,
yeah, because you got to figure, even though we've been talking back and forth about this, is what kind of metaphor John is actually going for here. But a baptism of fire is not something that's going to be gentle and feeling good. It's something that's going to take you out. There is definitely a warning there. So since John has...
Unless it's not.
Well, unless,
we
yeah,
keep going back
do,
and forth
we,
on
we
this,
do,
whether
it's... And if it's not, then maybe what it is this is John's way of warning people. And then they, particularly in this passage, respond to that warning and say, oh my gosh, what do we do? So we're going to move on to the body smart and looking specifically at that question. What do we do? What should we do then? How do we avoid that fate? How do we heed that warning? What?
Well, because even though I raised that question, I keep thinking that this is also Luke's way of introducing the idea of Pentecost that's coming, so that the baptism of fire isn't destructive but empowering.
Yes.
So
well, it burns away the old stuff and blows you out into the street with a new perspective and a new understanding.
Right. We might have to redo.
Yeah, well, anyway, let's just keep going. Anyway, the special effect for the body smart would be piggybacking on what we've already talked about in Philippians. The holding on to something, a weight until it becomes too much, and then letting go of it. That's the response to the offer of baptism.
So here, though, instead of holding on to worry, it's holding on to the sin and destructive behaviors. So,
right.
So John tells the people, what should we do? He says, stop doing
what you've been doing,
yeah. Or don't do what everybody else has been doing that's right. Destructive and hurtful.
And he says specifically to them, bear good fruits. It is bear fruit of repentance, isn't it?
Not here.
No?
No.
Bear fruits worthy of repentance, in verse 8.
Oh,
anyway,
that.
Right. We're going to move on to the nature smart, believe it or not. And we're looking at all of the images of nature that are in this particular passage. Bearing fruit. How more natural can you get? So maybe an illustration would be to talk about how do plants bear fruit? What's that process? And how do humans partner up with that? If you have, or if you are, a master gardener, this might be a good time for a little lesson on horticulture, or a farmer who has some real experience of being a partner with plants. How do you go about growing food? How do you go about bearing fruit for plants? What process, what steps need to be taken? And maybe people can see themselves within that process.
Yeah. So you'll want to talk with that person ahead of time so you can make your connections to the spiritual metaphors that are in place there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then continuing on with that question, what should we do? We're moving on to people smart now. This could be a time to talk about ministry and mission opportunities that you have in your congregation. People frequently, when they experience a repentance or a turning about or a change of heart or a change of mind, want to do something about that. So what is your congregation doing? This might be a good place to put a minute for mission. What is your congregation doing to help, to share with others, to unburden others? Again, going back to Isaiah when we were talking about the clean water initiatives, that might be something you're doing, or maybe that might be something you introduce, because that is a way of partnering up with other people to share and unburden others.
Right. So whatever it is that your congregation is doing, it's a way to replace the sinful and destructive or self-destructive behaviors with something
that
positive.
Will bear fruit.
Because if you just stop doing the bad thing but don't replace it with a good thing, then there's a void there that is likely to get filled by the bad thing again.
Right, because it's tenacious.
Yeah, like a weed.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm doing a little too much theology.
That's okay. All right, we're moving on to the self-smart now.
Okay,
last one.
Self-smart. The illustration that you might use is just thinking about the person of John and his role as a prophet and the invitation that he offers to repentance, and inviting people to think about who has played that role in their own lives, who has been the prophet to you, who has called you back to your child of God self, who has called you away from destructive behaviors, who brings that word and motivates you to act in more righteous ways. So again, you can give people opportunity, give them paper to write on in the bulletin, what have you, to think about that person, that role, how it's changed their lives, and encourage them to write a note of thanks to that person, to the prophet in their life, whether it's someone that they know personally or some public figure, perhaps even too. Mm-hmm.
And if they feel moved to do so, send the note.
Right.
Send it if that person is still available to have that, to receive it. Yeah. So there's the joy.
The joy comes on the other side of the repentance.
Exactly. Ta-da! Okay. See? Ha-ha. So the lectionary people knew what they were talking about.
I guess.
All right. Before we finish today, we want to take a little bit of time to do something we're going to call a feedback loop, which is to talk about some of these ideas that have been in the past that we have actually used in our own preaching. We're looking specifically at the first Sunday in Advent and that huge batch of things that we offered to you all. We did two special effects, the math ratio. David actually got a whiteboard out and got a marker and showed people what it looked like. And we also both used the special effect of the chia pet.
The chia pet.
Holy cow. I have never done a chia pet in my life, and I wish I had.
Yeah.
Because what you have to do with the chia pet is you have to soak the seeds. And when you leave these chia seeds in the water for a while, they become what reminded me of my children when they were young and had colds. Oh, my gosh.
A little sloppy.
A little more, yeah. Anyway, so that might be a word of caution, is as we give you these ideas for special effects, if you've never done it before, do it before Sunday morning.
Yeah, try it out just to be sure. And it worked out fine, actually.
It did. It did.
In the
yeah.
worship service,
yeah.
You know, I had kids come forward to put the seeds on the chia pet, and that worked out fine, and it will be okay. But when I came back into the office on Tuesday, there was not a seed left
on the pet.
Slid off. So if you've never done a chia pet before, that's something to watch out for. Don't use quite that much water.
Yeah, maybe.
You have to let them dry out a little bit and then put them back on. So
I haven't seen my chia pet since Sunday, and my congregation was very concerned that it be in a good place to sprout. And I don't know. I it will be a surprise.
We'll see what happens. So good illustration, good special effect, but you will have to do some maintenance on it.
Yes.
As you follow up with that, the math ratio thing worked out pretty well. I had some good feedback from that. Was a fellow in the church that's particularly a logic guy and math guy was kind of pushing me on the relationships and the ratios, and if you actually had numbers in there, how would that work and such. So it at least engaged him. I don't think we agreed on the actual math.
Right.
But that doesn't matter.
That doesn't
matter.
Exactly. He was engaged.
Yeah.
David also used the illustration of the worm blanket.
Yep.
And I think we both use the illustration of jack pines,
yes.
The serotonous cones that will only sprout or seed after they've gone through fire. So there were an awful lot of things, looking back through the list that we had, that, gosh, I wish I had tried instead of that dadgum chia pet. But anyway, so there's our feedback. And so please let us know if things worked for you.
Yeah. Leave messages for us on the website, morethanhearing.org, when you listen to this, and or send us an email and let us know how it worked so you can be part of the feedback loop too.
Well, that's it for today's podcast. Like we said, if you want to be part of our feedback loop, please leave us a comment or ask a question on these following places. You can go to our website at www.morethanhearing.org or to our More Than Hearing Facebook page. You can tweet us at More Than Hearing or send us an email at connect@morethanhearing.org.
Be sure to look for the show notes on our website, and don't forget to subscribe to the podcast using iTunes, Android, or the RSS feeds. We'll be back with another installment next week, so in the meantime, stay subscribed
and be smart.
We're sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this time.
This is a Whippet Good production.